temperature? Well, my meditation is called The Magnificent Power of Jesus' Blood. In the natural, we don't think too often about the power of blood. There is something about blood that every mysticism or mystic religion, cult, whatever they have to do, they have to have blood. Are you with me here? Every religion on planet Earth, when they are offering sacrifices to their gods, blood has to be involved. And then I ask, why? In the natural, if somebody suffered an accident and lost blood, without blood, that person dies. Is that correct? Sometimes somebody's going to go through a surgery, and there you are, they lose blood, or their blood is weak. Then they need to have transfusion of blood. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Blood plays a vital role in the life of humans. As well, blood plays a vital role in the redemption of mankind. If you like what you hear today, I have three more sermons on the blood, on the power of the blood, magnificent power of the blood. One of the greatest things about the blood, and I'm talking about the blood of Jesus, is it saves us from spiritual death. I'm going to say it again. The blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary Cross saves us from spiritual death. In the book of John, chapter 6, starting in verse 52, we read the following. The Jews, therefore, quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Why, nurse? Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." 54. I love this. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Because of the blood of Jesus, death has no hold over us. Because of the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary, we will live forever with him in heaven. Because of the blood of Jesus, on the moment that you and I are absent of this body, we are present with the Lord. Now somebody may say, "This is gross. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He wasn't signifying his literal flesh. But this morning we ate and drank the blood of Jesus, ate his flesh and drank his blood. And we do that every week with a difference. Now that we already gave our lives to him, every time that we partake on that ceremony, we are told to remember, to do it in remembrance of him. Because of the blood of Jesus, my friends, we are saved from spiritual death. Because of the blood of Jesus, you and I have life. Because the blood of Jesus gives life. Listen to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood. In other words, sin cannot be atoned. Sin cannot be purified. Sin cannot be washed. Sin cannot be forgiven unless blood is shed. Amen. And on the old days, as you all know the story, when a sinner messed up big time, here they go, pulling a goat that wasn't very happy to go. Where are you taking me, man? Come on, let's go. Or a sheep, a lamb, straight to the temple. And can you imagine the embarrassment for those who lived around the temple area? Hey, what did you do this time? You know what I mean? And it had to be repeated. But blood had to be shed in order for God to forgive sins. In our days, the blood of Jesus was shed, so we no longer need to walk around pulling a dragging a lamb because our sins have been forgiven. Now, there's another difference here. What the reason I put this verse here is because I want you to understand that the concept of shedding blood so that we can have life is an old concept. We are back in Leviticus, on the days of Moses. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Somebody had to die. Blood had to be shed in order to satisfy the punishment of sin. The blood of Jesus, beloved, gives you and I life. Are we together so far? Yes. Won't you say this with me? Father, I thank you that I have abundant life through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus also forgives. The blood of Jesus brings forgiveness to our sins. Listen to Matthew 4:20. Leviticus 4:20, I'm sorry. Well, I'm saying Matthew. Leviticus 4:20. Read it with me. And he shall do with the bull as he did with the bull as a sin offering. Thus, he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Pay attention. A bull had to be sacrificed. Blood had to be shed in order for sins to be forgiven. And I'm going somewhere here. Now let's jump real quick in Matthew 26, 28. Watch this. For this is my body, my blood. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. What for? Do you see the parallel here? In Leviticus, a bull had to be killed, blood had to be shed for sins to be forgiven. In the new covenant, Jesus said, my blood, the blood of the new covenant, is shed for many for the remissions of sin. When we go to Colossians 1:14, it gets interesting. Watch this. In whom we have
redemption
through his blood. So we got, preacher, we got. What are you trying to say? When we sin, we open a door for that low life, good for nothing, useless piece of garbage, that punk called devil. When we sin, whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily, he thinks he's an idiot, that he has legal rights upon us. And I want you to pay attention to this. On the moment that you and I go to God and quote the scriptures to him. Lord, you said that I have been redeemed or bought back to you through the blood of Jesus, and that my sins are forgiven. I am sorry, and I take possession of my forgiveness. There are a lot of people in church walking heads down because of something that they did many years ago. They ask God for forgiveness, and yet they walk heads down when they remember the mess that they were in many years ago. The problem with this concept is, if we believe that the blood has the power to forgive our sins, we no longer need to walk around heads down, because the blood brought us back to him. It is so powerful that if a man has been a gay man for many years and has been banged up left and right, on tonight, if he would walk here and say, I'm giving up the gay life, Jesus, I'm coming back to you, and I will receive the redemption and the forgiveness. On that moment, Jesus will look to the Father and say, Dad, put my sacrifice on the account of this person. Amen. At that moment, that person is redeemed back to God. Amen. The offense no longer counts against that person, because the blood of Jesus,
thank you, Lord,
never loses its power.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Many times people will confess the mess, but will not accept the cleanness. Listen to 1 John 1:9. Brother Harry, could you put up there for me 1 John 1:9? Any translation is all right, whatever you pick. Listen carefully to this. And this is where I want you to understand that the blood of Jesus has the power not only to forgive our sins, but to go beyond what we think. Listen to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is so powerful that on the moment that you confess the mess and accept the forgiveness, allow him to cleanse us from whatever junk, from whatever garbage is left within. I met a preacher, and I'm not going to call the name of the church because many of you will know who I'm talking to. And this blessed man of God made a mistake to attend some church gathering. And on that gathering, there was a daughter of Satan dressed in the spirit of Jezebel and flirted with this man. Nothing happened. But he called. Are you a pastor, Paul? I said, yes, I am. My name is Bishop so-and-so-and-so told me to call you. I'm thinking, it doesn't sound good. And then he went on and told me this story. He says, preacher, I have asking God forgiveness since the day that this thing happened, but I can't have peace with it. Here and there, that accusation feeling comes back. Here and there, the memories comes back, and I'm about to go nuts. What do I do? Nothing, actually. I want to get rid of this. I said, it's going to be get rid of it in 30 seconds. So I told him, I want you to tell God in detail what went through your mind on that moment. And once you finish that, I want you to say, Lord, I accept the forgiveness that the blood of Jesus can bring. Go ahead. And he did. I said, now, say in a loud voice, Lord, I accept the cleanliness that the blood of Jesus can affect in my life. What? Say it. Just say it. And he said it. So they say it again. He said, say it again. We went 7 times. At the 7th time, he goes, whew. That's what happened. I don't know. I feel a relief. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what you're saying, preacher? The blood of Jesus has the power to forgive our sins. It doesn't matter how hideous the sins may be. And once we confess to God, sometimes we have to confess to a man too. But once we confess to God, take possession of the forgiveness. Grab that forgiveness. Hold on to it. Because when that piece of garbage, good for nothing, idiot, low life punk, called devil, comes back and try to throw that to you, at your face, you tell him, shut up. I have been forgiven, and I have been also cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He can't contest you. So what you're saying, preacher? If there is somebody here tonight that have been living with a monster on the back of your head, something you might have said or done or thought, you already asked God forgiveness for it. And yet, here and there, that thing come back tormenting, hunting you down. I want to challenge you tonight to pray in a loud voice, Lord, I have already confessed this junk. Now I am taking possession of my forgiveness right now, and I'm allowing you to cleanse my heart from the debris in Jesus' name. Are we still together? Say it with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am so thankful that you forgave me from all past sins because of the blood of Jesus. I declare that I am made innocent by the blood of Jesus. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from condemnation. And I'm free from shame forever. I take possession of my forgiveness, and I'm allowing you to cleanse my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, are you done, preacher? Not yet. The same blood that will bring forgiveness to you into your sins also has the power to make you holy. And the reason that I place this verse here, you can't be 100% holy as God wants you to be holy until you understand that you are forgiven, until you accept forgiveness, and until you allow God to cleanse your heart. Once that takes place, a new process began, which is the process of holiness. Listen to Exodus 29, 21. Read it with me. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar, and some anoint oil on his garments, on his sons, on the garment of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed. Did you see that? We are talking about on the natural here. Now let's jump to Hebrews 10:29. The blood has the power to make us holy. Let's read it. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Huh? What are you talking about? The blood of the covenant has the power to sanctify us, has the power to make us holy. Are we together so far?
Yes.
And when people don't pay attention to what they're doing, they can get easily in trouble. The blood of Jesus that was a sprinkle in our souls has the power to make you and I holy. The blood of Jesus has the power to sanctify us and set us apart for a specific plan and purpose that God may have for our life. Therefore, let us commit to live a life of holiness, to set ourselves apart from the things of this world, from the things that are vile, and allow the Spirit of God to continue to sanctify us, to set us apart. Are we still together? Another thing that the blood of Jesus will do, the blood of Jesus will give us protection. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
The blood of Jesus will give us protection. One day I'm driving on I-75 in Florida, going from Naples to Miami. We had gone to visit an old friend of ours in Sarasota. Very good guy. Brother Amos Host, sweet man. My wife wanted to go to see them because we wanted to thank him for some bicycles or something they had dropped for the boys at the house. I had to be at work at 1 o'clock. It's 3.5 hours from South Beach, South Miami, to Sarasota. We used to have a brand new Grand Marquis. So I said, we gotta go early. We left home around 6. We hit the gas, and here we go to Sarasota. We met with Brother Ames and his wife. We spent 1.5 hours with him. I said, sweetheart, let's go. Gotta go. I gotta be at work at 1 o'clock. So it's already 10:30. I had 2.5 hours to make home, drop her, and hit back traffic to get to work at 1. On the way back, I am in a hurry, but there's something between idiots and the left lane in traffic. It's all over the country and all over the world. For some reason, idiot drivers love to be on the left lane. I don't know. There's 5 lanes. Move your little butt to the right lane and leave the rest over for people who want to move, move. But no. You have a 75 miles per hour highway, and there is a blessed of the Lord driving at 45 miles on the left. I can't go to the other side because everybody saw that, and everybody voo, voo, voo in all 4 lanes. So after some 10 minutes, I honk my horn. Here comes the finger. All right. Finally, when there was an opening, I hit on the gas. I mean, I have a V8. And the guy's driving this lousy Tercel 94, whatever, 95. When I hit on the gas, he hit on the gas too. Okay. So I went far right. He goes on the far right and he slammed the brakes. So when he slammed the brake, I tried to get from behind him, and then the Grand Marquis starts spinning. So I go from the far right, spinning 5 lanes, go over the medium, go on the other lane, and people saw from far off, they hold the brakes. Then I come back again, and I come to a stop in the medium, facing the opposite direction.
Well, the children love that.
The children were excited. So what does it got to do with the blood? While this car was spinning, Marcia is, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I think she said that 100 times. And you know, the blood of Jesus didn't allow that car to flip. Needless to say, I was so anointed. I had a holy anointing of anger upon me. I turned around and I hit on the gas behind this guy. I would have just done a little pit maneuver. I was... Hallelujahs! Well, when he saw what he saw, when he saw that I came back, he hits on the gas. I'm doing 120 and he's ahead of me. All of a sudden, I saw the smoke coming out of his hood. I said, thank you for the vengeance, Lord. Move around, and I went. His engine was smoked, was fried. Well, that's good enough. I don't need to do anything because vengeance already came. But if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I think we would have been dead by now. The blood of Jesus has the power to protect us from death. Let's go to Exodus 12, 13, a very well-known scripture. Read it with me. Now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Would you agree with me that the blood of Jesus is good enough to cause plague to pass over our homes? Are you with me here? They are saying, well, this is flu season. The blood of Jesus. No flu season shall come near my dwelling. It got to go over because the blood is in that house. The blood of Jesus has the power to protect you and I from plague. I don't care what it is. What about Zika? Ah, piece of cake. Piece of cake. Ebola? Piece of cake. The blood has never lost its power. And the blood has the power to protect the children of God. Say it with me. Father God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that was applied to the doorposts of my life when I received him. I declare that no evil will come near my dwelling place, nor will any plague come near my house. Nothing shall by any means cause harm, hurt, or injury to me and my family. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you one more. The blood of Jesus also has the power of reconciliation. Let's go to Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10. The blood carries the power of reconciliating. Will you care to read it with me? If, when we were at our worst, we were put on a friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of his Son, now that we are our best, just think. You got that? Brother Harry, can you give him the NLT? They didn't get it. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemy, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Let's go yet to Colossians 1:20. Read it with me. And by him, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus has the power to reconcile us with God. Folks, it doesn't matter how ugly, how despicable the mistake may have been. On the moment that you call on God and plead the blood of Jesus, reconciliation began.
Amen.
This wonderful blood that was shed at Calvary Cross can save you and I from certain spiritual death. This blood can save us from all the junk, can protect us. This blood can bring us life and forgiveness. This blood can make us holy. And this blood has the power to restore relationship between us and God.
Amen.
You may be asking, so preacher, how do I use this blood? Let's say now that you're going home and somebody cut in front of you and you honk the horn and they give you the middle finger. And you get angry. You want to do a pit maneuver. Don't do that, please. You're not a cop. But you got angry. How about, instead of going to bed with anger and resentment at your heart, you plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, may the blood of Jesus wash away my heart from every anger. And may the blood of Jesus save this lost soul.
Amen.
Are we together here?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for cooling down the place.
Yes.
So, preach, what is the conclusion for tonight? 1 Peter 1, 18, 19, and 20. And I'm done. What is the conclusion? I want you to read it with me. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Next verse. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrifice lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it has only lately, at the end of ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. Let's be thankful to God for the blood of Jesus. Let's be thankful to God because God knew from the get-go, I'm going to have to sacrifice the life of my son. He will have to shed blood so I can buy these people back to me, get them in good standing, and have a good relationship. It doesn't matter how ugly things may have been in the past. Listen, the blood can establish peace in a good relationship between you and your God, between you and your family. If things are trying to get a little rough, call on the blood of Jesus. You're just fine, and then all of a sudden you start feeling something wrong. The blood of Jesus. I rebuke you with the blood of Jesus. What will it do? It will protect you. But what if I don't know what it is? It doesn't matter. Because the blood will never lose its power.
Amen.
Plain and simple. When I don't know, that's when I call the blood of Jesus. I don't have to know anything. Something is not right. I call on the blood of Jesus. Plain and simple. The blood works for you. Take good use of it. In Jesus' name.